90.3 867 1190
Near FM. Good morning, listeners. My guest this morning is Conor Dodd, who is the historian in Glasnevin Cemetery. Welcome, Conor.
Thanks very much for having me today. Delighted to be here.
Oh, well, delighted to have you here. Conor, you are here to tell us all about the cemetery, but the events that you have. And I also want to ask you a little bit about the history and so forth. Mm-hmm. But could I just ask you about something I just popped up on my screen last night when I was looking up about the cemetery. Women's tour. You have a women's tour on the 29th of September. What's that all about?
We do indeed, yeah. We've as you can imagine, the history of Glasnevin Cemetery is incredibly diverse, and we've, I suppose, a window or a prism into the past in terms of the stories of all the people that are buried there. So we have a variety of different tours that take place over the course of the year, but this month, at the end of the month, the last Sunday of each month, we have a women's tour at 2 o'clock. So Bridget Sheeran, one of our tour guides, who is has a remarkable knowledge of that area of our history, takes people around the cemetery and gives them all of the details of the famous and well-known, and in some cases not so well-known, women who are buried in Glasnevin. So you'd have people like Maud Gonne MacBride and Elizabeth O'Farrell, Countess Markovich, Delia Lark and Charlotte Despard, a wonderful mix of characters and some incredible stories amongst them.
And and some devious women and some women of ill repute, would they be buried in Glasnevin as well? I'm just curious.
I couldn't possibly comment on their background, but no, there are some characters, I suppose, okay, as we define them amongst them as well. But there's a remarkable mix, really, in terms of the stories, and obviously a lot of that would be based in terms of the revolutionary period, but also as well you have some women in Glasnevin who would have been involved in a variety of different businesses and things, some of them which may have been of ill repute, but who were incredible in their own right and did some amazing things. So yeah, you get an incredible range of history on that tour.
And is it I know first of all, how old is the cemetery? When did it open and who opened it?
Well, the cemetery was first opened in 1832, and the background to the cemetery itself is actually quite interesting, because the cemetery really arose out of a political movement which was led by Daniel O'Connell and the Catholic Association. So what you had during that period of the early 19th century was a situation where there were severe restrictions on Catholic burial rights. So there were a lot of issues for Catholics who wished to be buried in a cemetery with their own funeral service and rights of burial. And
was that from a cost point of view, Conor?
No, it was purely in relation to the penal laws. So those restrictions were in place as a result of the penal laws. And the attention of Daniel O'Connell was drawn to this because of a particular incident at the funeral of a well-known gentleman, and he decided that he wanted to try and do something to rectify this. So he established a committee which decided to try and set up a cemetery, and they did that. And the first cemetery that they actually set up was in 1828 in Golden Bridge. And that cemetery was quite small. Demand soon outstripped the amount of space that they actually had. And in 1832, they opened Glasnevin, which has grown to become the largest cemetery in Ireland. About 1.5 million people buried in the cemetery altogether. And as you can imagine, because of its nature, because of the sheer number of people that are buried there, as I was saying, it gives you that sense of Irish history over the past almost 200 years plus.
Well, I have to say one thing. I was highly affected emotionally, which took me by surprise when I went up to the First World War Memorial, and you have all of the helmets, this beautiful sculptures, small, but they have the different helmets of the different forces that the Irish had joined for the First World War. And the list on this wall was, I was actually quite stunned now, because they had fought in so many areas. Mm. I do have family buried there. I had my remarkable grandfather, but we won't talk about him today. And but I also, It's a charity. So what does that mean? You're not getting government funding or...
No, so when going back to Daniel O'Connell, what he founded, the committee that he founded, it's still in that form today. So we're an independent body. We're not. A lot of people assume that, I think, when they hear of, you know, the famous figures, you know, that are buried in Glasnevin, the likes of Daniel O'Connell and Michael Collins and so on. And they probably assume that, you know, we're run by the OPW or something along those lines. But that's not the case. We're still an independent body and we are a charity. And all of the different activities that we do, all of the different heritage related activities that we do, what happens is that any of the funding that's received from that goes back into the restoration of the cemetery itself. So anybody who would be familiar with Glasnevin, I know a lot of people from Dublin, one of the most common things I hear is that, you know, I've passed by the gateway so many times, but I've never gone in. But anybody who is familiar with it will have noticed the difference that differences that there have been over the past decade plus in terms of the restoration program and the work that's ongoing there in the cemetery itself. So everything that we do is to try and maintain the cemetery and to ensure its future. So
I think it's quite remarkable the amount of work, and also, I think it's a simply brilliant idea that the gate was open from the Botanic Gardens, because I could walk down sometimes and on a Thursday, and if it's the restaurants in the Botanic Gardens are full, just walk straight over to Glasnevin Cemetery restaurant, and it's the Victorian Edwardian style of headstones, and you're just the remarkable amount of work. So that's all been donations to do all that work.
Yeah, it's been a mix of two different things. We did, as part of the restoration program, there was a commitment from the government to assist us with that. So that's helped hugely in terms of restoring the cemetery itself. But a huge amount of it has been also as well the what we've received in our heritage output in terms of the tours and so on. But I think a lot of people, when they come to Glasnevin, are somewhat pleasantly surprised, particularly because of the fact that they don't realise that it is a Victorian garden cemetery, and that's what it was originally founded as well. It was part of the garden cemetery movement, so it was based on Père Lachaise in Paris.
Oh yes, where Oscar Wilde is buried, is that right?
So yeah, so the idea behind it, you know, was that it would be a place of beauty, a place that people could walk through, that they could, I suppose, engage with the nature as well. And I think one of the big aims of the program was to bring the cemetery back to that former glory and to give people a sense of what it was originally like. And I think that's been achieved. And as you've just mentioned there, you really get that sense, particularly in the older sections of the cemetery leading down to the Botanic Gardens. But that's a lot of people, I think, you know, when they've heard about Glasnevin, they probably come with slightly lower expectations. You know, they're going for a day out to a cemetery. And a lot of people leave pleasantly surprised, and they learn an awful lot. They learn a lot about history, but also they get a chance, I think, to take in the beauty of the place. And that's one of the things that I always mention to people when they actually come in, and if I'm bringing them around, is to get their heads up and to have a look around and to actually appreciate some of the works that are in the cemetery, because it is like an outdoor art gallery. And the skill and the talent of the stonemasons that have worked,
extraordinary,
and the sculptors. Yeah.
Extraordinary. Which brings me back to another question. You were saying that the founder, Daniel O'Connell, but his the tower, you've reopened the tower.
We have indeed. So when Daniel O'Connell died, yeah, he died in 1847. He actually died in Italy. He was on his way to Rome. And his final words was that he wanted his body to go to Ireland, his heart to Rome, and his soul to heaven. So they literally took him
so
on his
romantic
word with that.
Oh my goodness, that so really is so romantic.
They did that. They placed his heart in the Irish College in Rome, and then his body was returned back to Ireland. And naturally enough, because of his connection to Glasnevin and the importance of his involvement and role in its foundation, that was the place where he was going to be buried. So he was originally placed in what we now call the Old O'Connell Circle, And then after about 20 years, they put in place a plan to memorialise him. And you can imagine what was involved in this at the time, because something I know a lot of people would have been maybe watching the recent documentary on TV about Daniel O'Connell and his life. But a lot of people, I think, know of him and recognise the achievements that he did have during his lifetime. But it's easy to forget how big a personality he was during his own lifetime, and not just in Ireland but internationally as well. So this was a huge project and a huge responsibility that was on the cemetery to properly memorialise him. So what they decided to do was to build a replica round tower, and it was an incredible achievement when you actually look at what was involved. And within that round tower there was a staircase. And that remained there until 1971, when unfortunately somebody placed a bomb at the bottom of the tower and it was destroyed. And it was closed up for quite a period of time. In the early 90s, the crypt of O'Connell was opened back up again and we were able to bring people into it. But only in recent years, the programme to actually restore the staircase has taken place. And now you can go back all the way up to the top of the tower and see the views from
really?
There.
Really? Mm-hmm. And is, I have to say this, Conor, the listeners will know when I say, is that free or you pay for it? Do you have to pay to go in or...?
There is indeed. There's a charge. So as you can imagine, there was a huge amount of work involved in restoring the staircase. I'll be honest, I'm in absolute awe of the people who did it, being able to witness the process of restoring that staircase, because it was an incredible job, and they're incredibly talented craftspeople who actually worked on it. And there is a charge to go in, but it's open 7 days days of the week, between 10 and 5 at the moment, you can find out more information about that as well on our website.
I'm going to go up, Conor, very shortly to see it. I think that's just absolutely amazing. The other thing I was going to ask you. We're going to have a number of festivals very shortly. I know the Dublin Festival of History is going to happen on the 1st of October. Mm. I'll be talking to the listeners more about that in the second interview. But I'm just wondering, do you have any events for that?
We do indeed. It's a wonderful programme, and it's an incredible amount of work that goes into it when you see the amount of different events all throughout the city. But we do. This is the first year actually we've hosted something for the Festival of History. So we've two events. The first is on the 8th of October, which is a Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And if people are willing to put up with me, I'll be talking for about an hour about the influenza pandemic of 1918-19, which is an incredible incident, really, when you look at it and the numbers of people who died as a result of it.
Okay, Conor, I'm going to ask you one question. When you say numbers, we're talking specifically about Ireland. Mm. What number are you talking about?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it's something that we don't have exact figures on, but I know Ida Milne, who would be an expert, really, on the influenza pandemic in Ireland, has given her most accurate assessment of what it would be. And really the official figures as they were published at the time are somewhere around 20,000, but realistically it was at least double that, and probably more. And if you think about the influenza pandemic as an incident, you had a situation where you had three peaks within the flu, which occurred between late 1918 and early 1919. And it killed probably the equivalent of the numbers of Irish men who had been killed on the Western Front and in Gallipoli and all over the world during the First World War, during the entirety of the four years of that conflict. Mm-hmm. So it had an absolutely huge impact. And if you can imagine that it occurred over quite a confined period, you can imagine the pressures that placed on the cemetery. So the cemetery really was at the forefront of dealing with it. So on the 8th of October, I'm going to be discussing a little bit of that.
That's wonderful. Is there any other events?
We do have one more, which is the following week on the 15th, at the same time at 3 o'clock. And we'll have Pat Callan, who'll be talking a bit about how the cemetery was perceived by the diaspora historically, and also as well some of the different political battles that occurred within the cemetery to try and take control of particular graves and so on.
Really?
During the late 19th century. So that'll be a fascinating talk, I'm sure.
Some things don't change.
Definitely not.
No, they don't. Also, I'm just wondering, the culture night, which is on the 20th of September, are you having an event with that?
We are as well. It's a wonderful opportunity, really, to get involved. And on the evening of Friday, the 20th of September, we'll have a number of free tours associated with that as well. So, yeah, we've got quite a mix of items coming up between September and October for people to get involved with. But if they want to find anything more about any of these events, either the daily tours that we have, the women's tour, the tower, the culture night, etc., you can find out more on our website, glasnevinmuseum.ie.
Okay, and your opening hours are Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on the Saturday, Sunday and bank holidays it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Do those hours change during the winter months? Do they shorten, or
they do? Well, we're just into September now, so yeah, we're open 10 until 5 at the moment. We were during the summer months we were open until 6 o'clock, but during the week we've the two general tours of the cemetery, which are at 11:30 and 2:30, and then we also have the an additional tour at the weekend, and then we also have what's called the Dead Interesting Tour, which gives people an alternative view of Glasnevin Cemetery at the weekend, so you can go on that as well.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to ask you about that one because I'm going to take part in it and actually just tease the listeners and ask them to come. The other thing is, as I said before, I'm going to go to visit the tower and the women's tour. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the museum? The people, do you get a lot of visitors looking for the genealogy, their own family history?
We do indeed. That's a hugely popular part of what we do. As you can imagine, with us having 1.5 million people, there's quite a lot of descendants out there who would have relatives buried in Glasnevin Cemetery. And we're very lucky in that we have all of the records going back to the very first burial in 1832.
You have all of them?
Yeah, so people can go online to our website. They can search and...
Now, Conor, I have to interrupt you. You just said you had 1 million, and how many people are buried there?
1.5 million.
And you have all the records?
Yes, so 1.5 million individual records for all of those buried. So it would include a variety of different information, obviously their names and addresses, in a lot of cases what they died of, and obviously then their grave number as well. So it's a great opportunity for people, anybody who has family history going back, to find out a little bit more about their own connection to Glasnevin.
So would you get overseas visitors coming as well?
We would, yeah. There's a huge amount of interest from people. We get people from all over the world who'd come to find out more about their own family burials in Glasnevin, and it's something that we're noticing more and more is an interest, I suppose, in genealogy. And as you can imagine, that's taken over over the past decade or so. So there's a huge amount of interest in it.
Now, I know you're a historian, but do you have a genealogist?
We do indeed, and Lynn Brady is our genealogist. So if anybody is interested in finding out more, they can go online or they can actually come into us as well, and Lynn will take them through the process of trying to find any family members that they might actually have buried in Glasnevin. So there's somebody there to help if people want that help.
I have to say, it's absolutely amazing. 1.5 million absolutely stunned. I did go and search somebody. I love aviation history, and I did search and found the grave of Captain Fitzmaurice, who was on the first aircraft that flew
Bremen,
the Bremen, and I was quite thrilled with that because I had got the map. I went to the reception and I got the map and found it now, and that was quite a thing, and it's so the cemetery is very accessible, and the buses stop outside, and as I said earlier, the Botanic Gardens is very near, so you have this wonderful wonderful two places to visit on the same day. Now, Conor, I'm just going to ask you one more time, is there anything else you'd like to tell us and tempt us to get over to the graveyard?
Hopefully I've given people enough to give them a sense of what we do and how interesting a place it is. But I think if I was to say anything to the people of Dublin who are interested in coming to Glasnevin, is to give it a chance and to try it out, because as I said earlier, that's the most common thing I hear, is that I've been past the gate so many times but I've never gone in, or I've only been there for a funeral or very briefly. So take the time, give it the opportunity, come out and visit Glasnevin, because it is a wonderful place and a wonderful amenity that's right on our doorstep. And
it is. It's wonderful. The only thing I will just say is that sometimes when you walk around Glasnevin, you nearly expect somebody to come around in the Victorian or Edwardian clothes, because it really is a Victorian, Edwardian place. So, Conor, I'm going to say thank you very much. And I'm so thrilled and delighted you came in this morning and sharing all of that information. And just tell us again the date that you will be talking about the influenza, please.
So the date that talk is the 8th of October. There's no booking required. Just turn up at 3 o'clock in the museum. And if there's any of the other events that people would like to find out about, the best place to do that is glasnevinmuseum.ie.
Just one tiny thing. You do have a museum in the basement. That's right. It's a little, yeah. And I have visited, but you have. It's interesting. It's actually cute, in a frightening way, but it's cute and wonderful. On that note, Conor, thank you very much for coming in today. I just want to thank Conor, and please, listeners, go and visit the museum and the graveyard. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all.